Hello, listeners. It's me, Paul Shigetti. I just had a notification on my phone that I was supposed to be doing a live show. And I must have been down here for, days and days. Oh, thank goodness there's food down in this cellar. Oh, dear. I was just listening to myself on the live feed on Pride 48. The battery on my phone has lasted for days. Look, listen.
You back this little show, but I just didn't make it. Toby and Lisa say we have had an exciting afternoon recording stuff about the much missed John Noakes.
That's playing now on the live feed. I'm going to see if I can get on. Probably won't work. I probably won't be able to, but well, I'm going to just carry on as normal. Yes. Let me see. Right, let me just test what's going on. Let me see if I can get into the chat room. Right, so that's that. Let's see. Oh, let's go into the chat room, and this probably won't work, but it's amazing if I can get a signal, but it looks like it's working, but I don't know. Maybe it isn't. We'll see. Right, let's see if I can get on the stream. That's the big thing. I wonder if I can still get in the stream. It's amazing that perhaps I'm hooking into Bettina's Wi-Fi or something. It'd be like her not to have bothered with any security. Oh, actually, did I, when I came here before, did I? Maybe I logged in then. Maybe my phone is linking into her Wi-Fi. Let's see if I can get on. Hello, 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 testing, testing, hello. Oh, I think I can hear myself. Goodness. Ah, yes, yes, I can definitely hear myself. I'm definitely on. I'm definitely on the stream. Oh, good. Right. Let me see. Now, what do I need to do? I wonder. That's all. Seems to be all working. Great. Now I need to, let me just, if I can get the phone working, then maybe I can send a message, but I've not been able to get a message out to anyone so far. This is weird. This is kind of weird. This is weird because I've not been able to call anyone to tell them I'm down here, not been able to send texts, and yet I managed to get on the stream for Pride 48. I'm not going to question it. Now, let me see, what do I need to do? Yes, I need to put the, let me do this, because it's going to be a bit different than how I do it when I'm at home. I wonder if, let me unplug. Right, so I've got to just, what the time is. What am I going to do for a live show? I've not had any time to prepare anything. I just didn't think I'd get on. Right, let me see. I wonder if I can get any music going. Let me have a go.
Go ahead, I am now recording.
Oh, wow, yes, I got that working. Okay, right. I don't know how this is happening, but it's working. So I'm going to do a live show and hope that somebody... This is like my message in a bottle. And, I'm going to try and do my very best. I mean, whether I'm actually getting through, I don't know. Oh, dear. As far as it says, there's nobody in the chat room, so perhaps it's not working. But it is a minute to... Now it is 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock. Right. Okay. So I should just forge on. I should do the show. And as if, you know, if I see somebody, then I can tell them what's going on and explain. But, right. Okay. I've not done this for a while. Right. Okay. So we need to do this. And here we go.
All right. Go ahead. I am now recording.
Hello. Is this Pop the Shy Yeti?
Now it's time for the silliest podcast in the world. It's the Shy Yeti Podcast.
With me, Shy Yeti.
He's not that shy.
123. Hello, listeners. Hi, it's me, Shy Yeti. Yes, I'm doing my live show, my monthly live show. I think it's our 15 live shows. Yep. And it's episode 123. Yes, blimey. Well, now listen, things are a little bit different this time because, it's difficult to explain things. Maybe I'll be able to give you a recap later of what's been going on. But I don't want to spoil things. I don't want to confuse things. Let's just get started and I'll tell you a few things as we go along. Let's just say that I'm not in my usual studios. I'm not even in the podcasting studios. I'm not even in my house. I'm somewhere else. Somewhere else, yes. And it's a little bit different, but I'm sure we'll manage to come up with a good show. If I remember correctly, we also have some extra material. Yeah, so if you're listening to this as a podcast, perhaps, you may find there is some extra material. I recorded with DJ, DJ Starsage. You may have heard that episode by now. And, well, we recorded some extra material. We did one of those, what do they call it? Random question things. Yeah, we did an extra one, especially for extra material for the next live show. Who would have known at the time that, things would have been a bit complex. Yeah. Oh, dear. Anyway, look, let's run the theme music. Let's run the full theme music, and then we can just, get on with the show, and we'll see how things go. And I haven't got that much news, as I was supposed to be on holiday. As I was saying, things haven't really panned out the last few days, weeks. No, it's not as long as a month. But anyway, well, let's just play the theme music, shall we? Okay, fuck.
What's gonna happen today?
Oh my God, it's enormous! It's the Shy Light Podcast.
It's so out of this world.
Oh dear, this isn't gonna end well.
It's a very strange show indeed.
Oh, a million kisses, darling.
I ask for pies. That's all I ask for. Pies.
Snarf.
Oh dear, I hadn't thought of that. Still, never mind.
Hey, that Yeti, he's crazy.
That's cool.
Those poor listeners, what have they done to deserve this, eh? Oh dear, oh dear.
Hello, listeners. Yes, here we are for November live show. Gosh, there's only one more month left in 2017 after this. But actually, I've been having thoughts. I've had quite a lot of time for thinking over the last few days, weeks, month. No, it's not as long as a month, I'm sure. But I've had plenty of time for thinking. I don't want to go into it too much at the moment. But I was wondering. I don't suppose anyone will be listening, but. Well, what's the difference? But I was thinking it would be quite fun to do like a Christmas Day episode, possibly, or maybe a New Year's Day or New Year's Eve episode. I know Pride 48 tends to have a like New Year's Eve show, but that's American time. I wonder if they would like a show that was about 5 hours earlier, UK time. I mean, I never do anything at New Year, so maybe I could. And also, Christmas Day. I think I'm going to have time. I could do. Yeah. So sorry, listeners. It's been a quite stressful few days, a few weeks, a few months. Well, no, I don't think it's as much as a month. But anyway, where was I? Let's see if anyone's in the chat room. No. No, nobody's in the chat room. Oh, well. Funnily, I was listening to what was being broadcast on Pride 48 just before me, and it was me. I was when they're not broadcasting live shows like this, they tend to play old shows. And it always seems to be that about this time of night, or certainly about this time of the month, that they are playing things from the Pride 48 live streaming event. And it happened to be the episode with me And Nick, yeah, from the summer. It's funny. Funny to be interrupting yourself. Yes, interrupting myself. Well, as there's nobody in the chat room, that's fine. I've still got plenty of things to be doing, and of course, we'll be putting this out as a podcast if I ever get out of this place. Oh, dear. I wonder. I'm sure we're going to have lots of nice guests, and I've been rooting for a box here, and there seem to be things that I sent to Bettina Dupre. Well, some of them are. Gifts, presents I sent to her. We're doing the live show, this show, from Bettina Dupre's mansion. Yeah. And I'm lucky because she keeps food and drink down here, so I get to... For those of you who haven't listened, basically I am locked, trapped inside Bettina Dupre's cellar and have been for a number of days, weeks... Month? No, I don't think it's as much as a month. I was supposed to be going to I was supposed to be going to Italy for my birthday, and well, I got dragged into helping out. Well, it's my fault. I was trying to help Damius, and it all went wrong, and he locked me down here. Somehow, he seemed to think that the reason that he and Bettina weren't together was because I'd interfered, and that's not the truth. It's not the truth at all. But why am I telling you this? You probably heard it already, but just in case you haven't, listen to this recap. You'll see what's been going on. Oh dear. And then we'll just get on with the episode, and it's fine. I was kind of hoping that somebody would be in the chat room so that I could let them know that. Well, anyway, I don't want to make a fuss. I'm sure somebody will realise where I am. Yes. Oh, so this is what happened with. Me and Damius. Damius!
Don't keep following me! You're trying to stop me! I need to do this! You're getting in the way! You're getting in the way!
Damius, I'm not getting in the way. I just don't think you should be wandering around down in the cellar like this. You'll just end up hurting yourself. Damius, look. I'm supposed to be going away for my birthday. And I don't want to leave you. Not in this state. I mean, if I go away, you're going to... Who knows what you're going to do? And I can't... Look, you need help. I don't know. You need something to calm you down. What about Cromarty? Speak to Cromarty. He can do hypnosis. Maybe he can calm you down.
No. 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 Don't you try this. Don't you try this. No. No, no, you're not trying to help me. You're trying to prevent me getting together with Bettina.
What a lot of nonsense. No, I'm not. Bettina doesn't want to be going out with anybody, though. She doesn't want to be out with... She's just dealing with her situation. You know this.
You're jealous. That's what it is. You're jealous. I'm not going to let you get in the way. You're not going to run off with her. She's mine.
Damius, I don't want to go out with Bettina. Damius, please. Come on, let's go back upstairs. It's cold down here. Damius. 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 Where have you gone? Where has he gone? No, the lights have gone off. Oh, for goodness sake, I can't see anything. Damius, where are you? What have you done? Where are you? Damius! Damius! The door's locked. Damius! Damius, why have you locked the door? Damius!
You're staying down there. You're staying down there in the cellar until I sort this out. You're not going to steal her from me. You're not going to steal her from me.
Damius, Damius, you can't leave me down here. I'm supposed... Damius! 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 Oh, for goodness sake. Oh, well. So, listeners, as you can see, it was terribly, terribly dramatic. So, I don't know. I don't know what to do about this at all. But I'm presuming that it's the Uncle John or Cromarty or Ick or somebody will realise that I'm down here, and they'll find me, or Bettina will come back from New York. But the thing about Bettina's house is that it's enormous. It's a mansion house, and yet, oh, you know, half of the house is run by this company who shows tourists around it, and the other half, well, I don't know. You would have thought that there would have been people working here, but no, it appears not. I thought Bettina would have kept a staff on, but maybe times are harder than I realised. Maybe she can't afford to keep a staff working when she's not here. I was going through a box I found earlier. Found a box of books, and in them I found some books that I had given Bettina. I guess she hasn't had time to put them on the shelves yet, but so maybe I can read something from these books during this episode, because I haven't been able to prepare anything like I usually would have done. Of course, as I was saying before, we will have some extra material. There'll be extra material from DJ and I. I found a few books. These aren't by me. This one isn't by me anyway. It's called The Little Book of Dinosaurs. Yeah. I thought we could maybe, spot some dinosaurs. I don't know if you have any dinosaurs where you live, you know, but you could look outside your window and see if you can see a passing dinosaur. Maybe you'll see Big Fattysaurus. Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Maybe. Gosh, it's a very interesting book. I don't know how they took these photos of these dinosaurs. Well, maybe they're not photos. The light's a bit bad in this cellar. Maybe they're drawings. Maybe they are drawings. So let me read you something. I'm gonna see if I can see Parasaurolophus. It says this hadrosaur had a very large curving crest, which scientists believe may have joined to its head at the back by a fin of brightly coloured skin. The male dinosaur had a longer crest than the female. I wonder if we might see one of those. If we keep looking. I mean, at the moment, all I've really seen down here is some spiders and maybe a mouse. I think that was a mouse. There's plenty of tinned food. Luckily, tinned food is quite easy to open. But I have had rather a lot of spam. Oh, what's this one? I haven't seen this one. I thought this was a... I see. There's a Centrosaurus. It looks a little bit like a Triceratops. But actually, it's a totally different thing. It's got the same sort of crest. Let's read about the Centrosaurus. Ceratopsian. That's weird. It's called the Centrosaurus, but Ceratopsian had a single horn on its nose and a neck frill formed from a circular rim of bone edged in spikes. Two sharp horns curled down over the top of the frill. But then there's the Triceratops. Oh, I see. This is the best known Ceratopsian, which weighed 6 tons and was as big as a truck. Its head was armed with 3 great horns, which were capable of causing serious injury to its enemy, Tyrannosaurus. Oh, I didn't know that Triceratops and Tyrannosaurus were like evil enemies. I wonder if it was like Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty. In which case, which one of them was Sherlock Holmes and which one of them was Moriarty? Which one was the bad one and which one was the good one? I would say that the Triceratops probably the Sherlock Holmes of dinosaurs, and the Tyrannosaurus Rex probably the Moriarty. They're just evil Tyrannosaurus Rexes. I mean, I did like them when they did those songs in the 70s. You know, bang a gong, get it on, bang a gong. Yeah, I didn't. Sorry, listeners, I am just waffling away. No change there then. No change there then. Very interesting book. The Pinacosaurus. Oh, they're like, they've got big, really stubby and a nasty tail. They got club tails, and then there's the ankylosaurs, and the why do these dinosaurs have to be so complex with their names? Why couldn't they just be called Bob or Jeff or Simon or Mavis or Diana? I don't know. It's just trying to be very, very complicated. Have you seen any dinosaurs, listeners? Out of your window? Are you looking now? I can give you a little break and a little bit of time to go and look out your window. You can probably, if you don't have this book, The Little Book of Dinosaurs, then perhaps you've got the internet and you can have a look. There's the plant drawing, yes. There's one with a beak. It looks like a giant parrot. Oh, it's called Parrot Face. Well, it's not called Parrot Face, although it would probably make it easier if it was. It's called the Sith. Oh, I can't pronounce this. The Psittacosaurus. It was the first of the Ceratopsians. It was much smaller than its later relatives, such as Triceratops. This was like, these are actually relatives of the Triceratops. It stood on its hind legs. It was about the same size as a human, about 1.8 metres, and it weighed 50 kilograms. Wow, the first specimen was discovered in Mongolia's Gobi Desert in 1922. Wow. And I guess that was the dead one, not like a living one. Sometimes I get a bit confused with dinosaurs. You see them on the telly and all of that, and of course there is that real life documentary Jurassic Park, so that confused me for a while. I'm going to keep this book to hand, and I'm going to keep looking around the cellar. If I see a dinosaur, I'll tell you, and you do that, do the same. You know, either in the chat room or you can send me an email. Yeah, shyyeti@yahoo.co.uk, or even pcbeaches@hotmail, or yetichandler@gmail.com. Any of those, really. Just anything would be nice. And if you can let people know that I'm trapped down in the cellar, that would also be cool. Nobody's in the chat room yet. I've got another book in a minute that I can tell you about. Another sort of thing that we can spot together. Yeah. What have I got in my little pad here? Forging on. Yes, done that. We're forging on. We're doing an episode. I was saying it would be nice to do maybe a Christmas Day episode or New Year episode. I've done that. The extra material. Yes, yes. Chat room. Well, there's nobody in the chat room, which makes me wonder whether this is even getting through. But who knows? The recap. Oh, yes. I told you all about what happened and how I got here. Oh, one thing else I found whilst I was down here were two teddy bears. Well, one's a bear, and the other one is like a... I guess it's a... sort of elk or deer. Yeah, they're quite cute. But I've been pretending... You'll think I'm crazy. You'll think I'm crazy. But I've been pretending that the two of them are Yeti Uncle John and Cromarty. Yeah. I've kind of been doing the voices not as well as the real Yeti Uncle John or Cromarty, of course. No. So I was looking at the elk or the deer, and I decided that was probably Cromarty because he has horns, and Cromarty, well, sometimes it feels like Cromarty is a devil, and he has horns. And the bear, who's like a friendly character... I thought was probably more like Yeti Uncle John, because he's mainly quite friendly. Yeah. I probably will, like, sort of say hello to them during the episode. So if you hear me speaking to them, it's just to give us content. You know, you've heard Big Fatty online. He's always desperate for content. I like to send him stuff for his show. I wish I could do that. Never mind. Yes. This never seems to happen to Big Fatty. He never seems to get locked down in the cellar by Poodle or anything. Or any of the other listeners. People seem to generally quite like Big Fatty. Despite the burping and the farting and all those sorts of things. And But generally, he seems to be on pretty good terms with his listeners and with the cast of his show. Yeah. Whereas I seem to get locked down in cellars by Damius Twinklehorn or people like that. Or people come from other dimensions and want to swap with me, or people want to do all sorts of horrible things. It can get to a guy, you know? It can get to a guy. Or a girl. But I'm not a girl. Not today, I'm not, anyway. So Yeti Uncle John, what do you think about this?
Oh, yes, Paul, I think you're right. You are probably quite unlucky in that in your show you're often in peril. Or if you're not in peril, then somebody else is in peril.
Yeti Uncle John, you're so right. You are so right. How have you been, Yeti Uncle John?
I've been all right. It's been really good. How are you doing?
I've been doing fine, mainly sitting down in the cellar, eating spam from a tin. But it's not quite what I had planned for my birthday, but never mind. Have you been anywhere?
Oh, yes, Paul, we've been somewhere. We went to Kew Gardens today. Yes, we went to Kew Gardens. We went to see if we could see that friend of Vic's that I met that time. What's his name? Dusty. Dusty went to see him.
Oh, yes, I remember. When we went to Kew Gardens in the summer. With Toby and... Yes, how is he? How's Dusty?
We couldn't find him. No, it's all a bit, didn't work out.
Oh, that's a shame, Yeti Uncle John. I've got a busy show ahead, so I'll talk to you again before the end of the show, yeah?
Yes, that'll be good, Paul. Thank you, yes.
There we go, listeners. Yeti Uncle John, he's here, having a nice time. Hi, Cromarty.
Hello, Paul, how are you?
I'm good. We'll speak to you in a minute or two, all right?
Yes, that will be fine, Paul. Absolutely.
Great. I've got another book. I was telling you, I've got another book, and this is something else. If you haven't seen many dinosaurs out of your window, then this is an alternative, okay? An alternative, and this is something else that you can spy. This is, well, the other book was a little book of dinosaurs, and funnily enough, although it's not the same series at all, this is called The Little Book of Cacti and Other Succulents. Now, I love cacti. I love succulents. I literally have been collecting cacti, you know, not in any sort of really serious way, but I've always had cacti since I was a kid. It was always something, you know, we went to a garden centre or, you know, it was something that I guess I was always really into without ever being into anything beyond, you know, I'm not a gardener or a keen gardener. I don't have a garden. You know, if I can throw some seeds in a bed and they'll come up, great, but that's it. I don't want to be involved with weeding. You know, my parents have a lovely garden, and now they're getting on, they have someone who helps them around the garden, but it's not me and it's not my brother. No, they have a gardener. And, but I do like cacti. And I say I had them when I was kids, and I probably always had at least one cacti or some plant in the house. But in the last few years, kind of slowly increased, and sometimes when we go to IKEA we buy new ones, or if we go to garden centres we buy new ones. And this book that I found in Bettina's basement, I'm wondering if she'll notice if I take it with me when I finally get out of here, because it's really a rather nice book, The Little Book of Cacti and Other Succulents by Emma Sibley. It's got a lovely, it's nice hardback, you can hear that. It's got a green cover. It's quite minimal. The pictures in it, they're all colour. It's all quite simple, but very, very eye-catching pictures. And I recognise a lot of these cacti. And I know I have a lot of these back home. And it also has more common names for some of these plants, some of these varieties that I have. And, you know, very much like the dinosaurs, they have quite complex Italian names, which makes them, or Latin names, not necessarily Italian, Latin, yeah, you know what I mean. And it's not always easy to remember. So, for instance, here we have on this page It's called the Ferrocactus herrarae, I think. But then it has an easier name. In fact, you see the picture. It's a very arty picture of these cacti. So they're nice to look at, the pictures. And they, you know, they do look familiar, a number of them. So this one I was telling you about, the Ferrocactus herrarae, which isn't how it's really pronounced. But it has another title of the Twisted Barrel Cactus, which makes it a lot easier. That's the name I'd remember. But I never heard it called that. Definitely, it's one of those ones, quite a little one, sort of round one, but with hooks, those sort of ones that catch you onto your clothes, or, you know, if you're trying to repot them. Ouch. You know, it's a very, each entry, each page has a cactus. It has what you're supposed to do about watering them, whether they have flowers, what the colours of the flowers are, how you might propagate them, and things you might not know or things you ought to know, like, are they poisonous to cats or dogs? Or now, the did you know on this one is this aggressive looking cactus produces cream purple blooms which can attract butterflies and bees if kept outside. It is also known to produce edible fruits. I mean, a lot of my cacti never seem to flower, or they do very rarely, but, you know, one or two of them have. It's a matter of finding sometimes, you know, how they do. There's one called the zebra cactus, and that's it's more like a succulent, and maybe it is a succulent. It looks great in brightly coloured or striped pots and containers, apparently, and it produces flowers annually. It's a bit like an aloe vera plant, I think. Yeah. And then there's one called Buddha's Temple. I like these names. I like these, like, English names. They're so much easier to remember. You know, there's one here, Escobaria vivipara. I mean, as much as, you know, that's relatively pronounceable. And I'm looking at the picture and I'm thinking, yeah, I think I've had a cacti that looks like that. Well, the more common name, or the easier to remember name, is the beehive cactus. It says you'll find the beehive cactus residing in the desert scrub of its native Mexico, or in the conifer forests of Canada, high up in the mountains. This solitary cactus may sometimes clump to form beds of small bodies, each covered in a web of aggressive-looking star-shaped spines. Whew. Yeah, this is a really useful book. So nice, so many nice pictures. Makes me miss my cacti. Oh, and I miss Dealey, of course. I'm missing Dealey very badly. I mean, Toby doesn't seem to have noticed that I've not been home. He probably thinks I've gone to Italy. What about Callum? I was supposed to be going with Callum, so how come he hasn't said anything? I really don't know, listeners. So, anyway, getting back to the show. So, if you look around, look out of your window, I'm sure you can see a lovely view. Can you see any cacti? Yeah. Yeah, look out the window. Can you see a car? Can you see cars? And people? What on earth is she wearing? Oh my goodness, I can't believe she wears that. You know, double denim. It's so not now, is it? So 70s. Or maybe she's going to a party. Wish I could see. Although, can't see anything. I can't see anyone. Nobody, not at all. Okay. But anyway, look out your window, see if you can see any cacti, or maybe you keep cacti. Maybe you have a greenhouse, or maybe you don't. But maybe you have plants in your flat or your house. And I'm just looking around the basement now. I can see some mould. I can see some moss on the walls. But I can't see cacti. No. No cacti down here, but I've got the book. It's good. I must have read this book about 15 times, but when I emerge from this little, when I emerge from this place, then I think that I'll know a lot more about cacti, so it won't be wasted time. You know, if I was on Mastermind, it's a TV show over here where you have like a specialised subject, I think my specialised subject could probably be cacti and other succulents. Yes, I can answer all sorts of questions. Now, I'm kind of interested in this one. It's called the tree cactus, and the Latin name is Pilosocereus azureus. You know, if I saw that, if I saw this is something we should do. we should have names of plants and names of dinosaurs all in a list, and then you have to pick out whether it's a plant or a cactus. Actually, we could do that. Wouldn't that be a fun game? Maybe we'll do that towards the end of the show. Guess the... Is it a plant or is it a dinosaur? Anyway, well, this one, the tree cactus. I've definitely got one of these. It's lovely. It says, with a recognisable bright blue patterned stem and contrasting yellow spines, the tree cactus is one of the most attractive cacti that can be grown indoors. I've definitely got one of those. They are lovely. And does it say... doesn't say there's any danger, so that's good. No danger to Deals, or Toby, or Callum, should they be wandering around, snuffing around in the flat. What it says, though, about propagation is that you can cut the top off a mature plant and then you can grow a new one. I mean, I guess they mean perhaps if there's a plant that's got some rot or something, or maybe it's got mealybug and it's... Because you wouldn't want to cut a nice new plant, would you? You wouldn't want to cut a healthy plant. Maybe one that had got damaged or maybe had fallen over or been attacked by aliens. Oh, I don't mean to say anything nasty about aliens. Ick. Where is Ick? So we'll do that little game later on in the show. We've still got another half an hour or so, I think. Maybe I shouldn't... Yeah, I might read you some poems in a minute. Well, what do you think, Cromarty? Should I read some poems?
Yes, that would be very nice, Paul. But you might like to ask me what I have been up to.
Oh, sorry, Cromarty, yes. I keep forgetting you. So, Cromarty, what have you been up to? Did you go to Kew Gardens?
Yes, Paul, I went to Kew Gardens, like you said.
And have you got a story that's different from Yeti Uncle John's?
Well, no, not really.
Well, maybe... I mean, you've got plenty of time whilst I'm reading things. You could have come up with a really good story. You know, what are you looking forward to for Christmas? What are you going to be buying everyone?
But I can't tell you what I'm buying you for Christmas.
All right, then what are you buying? You must have other evil genius scientist friends that you're buying presents for.
Well, maybe one or two, yes, maybe. But I'm not an evil genius. Well, I'm a genius.
Oh, okay. Yes. No, sorry. I didn't mean to suggest anything else. So yes, as I was going through this box of books, I presume they're books that Bettina's going to take back up to her library at some point, presumably. Yeah. But anyway, there were some of my poem books there, so I thought maybe I'd just read a couple of poems. Yeah, why not? Now this is a book of mine from 2003. It's called The Autumnal EP. Yeah, and there's a poem in here. Well, it's not really a poem, it's more of a prose piece. Sounds very pretentious. The Next Big Thing, it's called. In fact, this is a slight remix. Can you remix a poem? Well, I can. It's called the 2010 Remix. I think I sort of updated it a bit and maybe, extended it or changed it or rewrote it slightly. The Next Big Thing. The Next Big Thing. I'm walking around Camden listening to Fleetwood Mac. I'm doing it deliberately just to be ironic. Swaying along to Stevie Nicks, humming the hits of Cliff Richard, even the religious ones. I'm creating a scene in my own little world. I'm avoiding the touts. Weed is so very last century. The only leaf that concerns me is loose leaf tea. Yes, I'm lowering the tone, playing Westlife and Boyzone LPs in trendy parts of Soho, bailing out of the in-crowd. Can no one see how much the Bay City Rollers influence Radiohead? Isn't it like, duh, completely obvious? I'm talking up a storm about X Factor, about how it's just a postmodern example of communism at work in today's media-fixated, split-screen, devil-may-care society. Or something. I dig Big Brother and 1984, but really I prefer the sequel, 1985. Yes, I'm heading down to Hoxton in my snood and open-toed sandals, wearing my Whitney Houston t-shirt and MC Hammer baseball cap, heading out to encourage a revival of Merseybeat. If only I could have got Scylla to rap over some trip-hop beats with Angie off EastEnders. I loved the Reynolds girls. I adored Betty Boo. Didn't we all? Weren't they just both so underrated? Where are you, baby? Oh, sold out to Kylie, thank you very much. I mean, I used to like ABBA back in the day, back in the late 1980s, when the only other people who liked them were other people's mothers, but even they didn't like to admit it. Still, there's precious little joy in ABBA worship in the 21st century. Everybody likes them now. I mean, where's the fun in that? Bucks Fizz. Now, I always preferred them to the Beatles anyway. Yes, I'm walking down the King's Road, listening to 10cc and the Doolies. I'm doing it deliberately just to be ironic. Hey, who knows, perhaps I'll set a trend. Do you remember Brotherhood of Man? Weren't they just so ahead of their time? Save Your Kisses for Me held a really dark significance. Whilst I think of it, I have a great idea for a musical. It's about Glenn Medeiros. Do you remember him? Here I am, cutting edge and at the forefront of fashion. Just you wait and see. I'm the next big thing. I'm just raring to go, to get out there, to show them what I can do. Dumbing us down a little deeper, until there is no deeper to go. That's probably not the best poem I could have read, because it's full of obscure, well, a lot of obscure British artists from the 70s and 80s and 90s. I wrote it kind of because, you know, there are always sort of hipsters and people who like to name drop bands, you know, cool bands, really, you know, supposedly modern bands. But I imagine perhaps a hipster name dropping really uncool bands, or, you know, when I write things, I tend to like to put a twist on stuff. So that was sort of my twist, in that it was a hipster talking about less cool bands like Brotherhood of Man or The Doolies or Boyzone or Westlife, but kind of talking about them, mixing them all up. I mean, for instance, you wouldn't expect a hipster to be talking about, say, Whitney Houston. In a cool way, a hipster wouldn't be into Whitney Houston, no matter how much anyone else might be. But she's not going to be somebody that a hipster would like. But what if this hipster did like Whitney Houston? What if this hipster did like ABBA, or had liked ABBA when they were in that patch in their career after they split up, before they became really popular again? Anyway. Of course, when I wrote this, Whitney Houston was still alive, as was Cilla Black. But these things, they... sometimes I do try and update what I write. I'm in two minds about that, because part of you thinks, well, you know, it's a picture of its time, which sounds all very pretentious, but why not? Other writers can talk about things in this way, so why not? But, you know, no. So it's whether you keep it as you wrote it, or whether you, if you're still intending to perform it, whether you update it slightly. And that's probably why I called it the 2010 remix, because presumably the 2003 remix had, I don't know, it was already dated by 2010. So this version, it appears, as I say, in my book, the Autumnal EP, and I re-released the book in its 10th anniversary in 2013. So anyway, Cromarty, should I read another poem? Yes, I think you should, but maybe one that's not quite so obscure. All right, Cromarty. I'll read a poem from this book, Poeticette, which I released in 2005, and this edition was the 10th anniversary edition from 2015. And the poem, I don't think I've read before, is called I Didn't Fit In, But I Do Now. Well, however I thought or whatever did say, I just didn't fit in, no, was quite in the way. I was miles out of sync with the popular view, was a step out of pace, never one of the crew. Wasn't stylish enough, showed you up, that's my bad. The least likely club member, it appears that you had. I just didn't fit in, or was hopelessly poor. I was letting you down, was becoming a bore. It was time that I left, you didn't care where I went. All my credit was gone, and your goodwill long spent. Ah, yes, but times have really changed now. Things are really looking good. Found somewhere that I fit in when I didn't think I would. Now, whatever I am saying, whether right or badly wrong, I'm still applauded quite politely. Now that's sure sign that I belong. A square peg in a square hole, I cannot speak for feeling pleased. I'm valued once again and not dismissed as if diseased. Like a hound back in the kennel, or an Italian back in Rome, the fairy on the Christmas tree, a lost cat who's wandered home. Yes, I'm happy here in this place, oh, they need no more recruit. To those who claimed I didn't fit in, well, here's my two-fingered salute. In a way, those two poems
sort of go together, in that the first one was about somebody being cool, and this second one was about someone not fitting in and then finding their own little niche to fit in. I think that was written sort of slightly from personal experience, the second one, in that occasionally I've tried to sort of be friends with bigger groups of people, and that doesn't always work out, because, you know, I think I'm a bit of a loner at times. I like to do my own thing. And also, when it comes to, like, people who, you know, they kind of expect you to, you know, maybe one person falls out with somebody and then they kind of expect the whole group to kind of ignore that person. And I could never do that. I never understood why you would want to. And, yeah, I wasn't good at being in a gang, let's just say. And it wasn't one of those gangs. It wasn't a gang like, you know, a teenage gang. This was a group of friends that I knew in my late 20s, early 30s, when I first sort of went on the scene and I first had the internet and started to meet sort of people. And, you know, I just didn't really fit in. I sort of guess I've been in sort of gangs, if you want to call it, of geeks, you know, with Nick and some of those friends of mine who are into sci-fi and Doctor Who, and that was never really a problem. That was always good. You know, we all got on really well, and there was no real bitching or infighting, or, you know, which, you know, you do hear of other groups where this does happen, but my Salisbury gang and the people that we met who sort of joined us from outside of Salisbury, like Lisa and Elaine and well, all sorts of people that you probably met on the podcast, you know, we always got on really well. And once Doctor Who wasn't on TV so much, we, you know, we had our acting and our scripts and Sutton Park and things to keep us busy. And yeah, but yeah, in a way, sometimes you think that's, you know, possibly more of a rare situation, that sort of a bigger group of people is still friends for many years without people sort of falling off. You know, we don't see each other as much as we used to, but you know, we are all still friends. We didn't fall out with each other, and you know, that's nice. But when it comes to writing a poem, it's the negative experiences that often make for the more interesting poems. It's like with The Mouse of Commons and with Charlie Gurr. When I wrote about Charlie Gurr for the Mouse of Commons books, Neff used to say to me, "Well, why do you make Charlie so selfish? Why do you make him sound so, you know, self-centred? Because in real life he isn't." I beg to differ. He really is, as much as we love him. But Neff has always had a very soft spot for Charlie, and he can't see, you know, he can't see any wrong in Charlie at all. So, yeah, so it just, you know, as I said to him at the time, well, you know, you do have to kind of exaggerate a character to make a story sometimes. And if Charlie Gurr was just lovely and nice and was only ever helpful to the Mouse of Commons, then there wouldn't be much of a story. You really have to focus on the times when Charlie was a bit selfish or self-centred, and that's where the, you know, the crisis occurs, and that's where the story occurs. I don't know, maybe that's not always the case, but certainly is when I was writing Mouse of Commons books. but anyway, I can see messages coming in. That's the first messages I've had for ages coming through on my phone. They appear to be from Adam. I sent Adam a message quite recently, and I didn't think it was getting through, but anyway, this was all to do with doing a show on Christmas Day and all that sort of thing. Hopefully I'll be out of the cellar by then, hey? Oh, dear. Let's see. What else can I do? Yeti Uncle John, Cromarty, thank you for joining us.
That's all right, Paul. It's absolutely fine. We have to go now.
Oh, really? Cromarty?
Yes, I'm afraid we have to go.
But I'm doing your voices.
Well, you know, sometimes even your imagination has to go and have a rest, you know?
Yes, I'm afraid so, Paul. We may be in your head, you may be doing the voices, but yes, you know, you should just, you know, you have to manage without us sometime. Why don't you do that game with the dinosaurs and the plants?
Yes, that would be a good idea. All right, now, we're going now. Goodbye.
Oh, okay. Goodbye, Cromarty. Goodbye, Yeti Uncle John. Can't you even say goodbye, Yeti Uncle John? Oh, yes. Goodbye. Goodbye, listeners.
Yes, goodbye, listeners.
Thanks, guys. We could do this game. I have got two other books that I was... But I don't think we're going to have time. I really don't. We've only got, like, 10 minutes or so before the end of the show. And, yeah. I found these other books that I gave Bettina. One's called The Ongoing Saga. Now, it's a book that... do you remember that I've talked with Nick about this story that we're writing? We're taking turns at writing chapters. And, well, back in 2002... a number of my friends, we wrote alternate chapters, and it was put into a book. It was a book with 50 chapters, was it? Something like that. And I mean, to be fair, I did write the lion's share of the book. Well, me and my friend Fatima did, and then, but people like Nick and my old friend Patrick and, well, all manner of friends. Did work on this book, and it's about 400 pages long. Yeah, it's incredible. But I was going to read you the first chapter from it, but I don't think we're going to have time this time, so maybe another time. There's another book here that I gave Bettina. That's called Mystic Biscuits. That actually also has sort of short chapters with various different characters that I'd written in other books. I think I might have shared with you one of my old stories from 1991, the audio of me reading Roland Quaverill, the first story of that. I think I may have put that first episode in this book as well. But The Mystic Biscuits was... Where is the ongoing saga? Literally, I didn't know where that was going. Mystic Biscuits was just me writing it. And, that was actually written a couple of years earlier. It was set in the area where I work now. And I used to go out at lunchtimes and I'd find locations and think, oh, that would be good. Or, oh, if I was writing this character, I'd like it if this character lived in that house. And, it gave me something to do when I first... sort of started working in central London, in such an interesting part of London, Belgrave Square and Belgravia and Kensington and King's Road, and I used to go and explore the area, and again, although it would be nice to read the first episode, I don't really want to start something and then we'll have to stop before I can finish reading it. So let's do this thing. Maybe another time, hey? Maybe another time. Let's do this little game that we came up with. So I'm going to say cacti or dinosaur. You can tell me what you think. I don't know if this is going to work. You're probably going to guess right. So what is a Corypanthia sulcata? Is it a plant or dinosaur? A Corypanthia sulcata. What do you think? Yeah? And a Pachyphythum bracteosum? Dinosaur or plant? And what about this one? The Ornithomid Dromaeosaurus. I don't think I pronounced that one very well. Oh dear, I think I should probably stop this. It's not going to work, is it?
Just in case, though, do you want the answers? So, the Corypantha solcata, that is a plant, otherwise known as the pineapple cactus. It's another one of those ones with sort of quite sharp spines. Now, the Pachyphythum bracteosum, part of me thinks that does sound a bit like a dinosaur, but actually, no, it isn't. It is a plant again, otherwise known as a moonstone. It's a native of Mexico. Yes. And then the last one that I read very badly, the ornithomimid dromiservio, for goodness sake. Anyway, it's a dinosaur. That's a dinosaur. All right. Maybe if you look out your window, you'll see a dinosaur or cacti. And gosh, there's something moving. It's a little bit darker down here. Is that a mouse? It's a mouse. It's funny, it sounded a bit like, you know, when I'm back home and Delia's playing with his toys. It sounded a bit like that, but Delia isn't here. Oh, dear. Delia isn't here. No. And, well, I guess, we're probably coming to the end of the show now. And as I say, if when I put this episode out as a podcast, there will be extra material. Extra material, yes. With me and DJ Star Sage. And, sorry that nobody was in the chat room this time. It was all rather lonely, but I know you'll get to hear this when it's released. And it's possible that the broadcast just isn't going beyond the cellar. And I'm hoping that soon, surely next episode, I'll be found and freed and things can go back to normal. Yes, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be nice? It would be nice just to go back to normal Shaggy Life podcast episodes. If there is such a thing. Yes. Anyway, I've mentioned the possibility of doing a live show on Christmas Day. Well, if that happens, then, that's good, all well and good. But there will be one more show before that. Our next live show is on Sunday, the 17th of December. Yes, Sunday the 17th of December at 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, or 4 p.m. EDT, Eastern Standard Time. Is that right? It's definitely something moving around there. Hello? Hello? If you're out there, please speak. What's going on?
Hello, Shy Yeti. How nice to find you down here. What on earth are you getting up to? I thought you were meant to be away in Italy. Did something bad go wrong? Did it? Well, ...
My goodness, is that you, Cuthbert? I can't see you. I can hear your voice, but I can't see you. How strange. Cuthbert?
Hello, Shy Yeti. How nice to find you down here. What on earth are you getting up to? I thought you were meant to be away in Italy. Did something bad go wrong? Did it? Well, ...
How bizarre. I and now I think I'm hearing Dealey talking. How can Dealey be down in the cellar? It's most odd. It's very, very strange. I'm hearing Cuthbert's voice, then I'm hearing Dealey's voice. Oh, this is definitely time to end the show. I'm quite clearly imagining things. Dealey? Dealey, is that you? It sounds like Dealey's down here. Maybe it's mice. Maybe it's the mice impersonating Dealey. It definitely sounds like he's down here. Listeners, it's very strange. Very strange. I can hear it. Can you hear that? Oh, dear. Gosh. You see, this is what happens when you've been locked down in a cellar for episodes. You just start to hear things, you know. And I'm you're probably not hearing this. You're probably not hearing this at all. But definitely sounds to me like Dealey's here. I think I need to go and have... need to drink some water that's come off the walls, down the walls, and drink that, lick the walls for some moisture. Well, clearly, or I could open a bottle of champagne. That's one good thing about being locked down in a cellar that has lots of wine and stuff. But I swear I heard Cuthbert's voice. That is so weird. But presumably it wasn't Cuthbert, and it wasn't Dealey, and...
No, Shy Yeti, I am not here. This is all just happening in your mind.
Absolutely, exactly, that's what I thought. And, in which case, yes, we should really finish the show.
Hello, Shy Yeti. How nice to find you down here. What on earth are you getting up to? I thought you were meant to be away in Italy. Did something bad go wrong? Did it? Well...
Shush. Stop that. Sorry, listeners. Sorry. I'm hearing things. I really am hearing things.
Yes. This is just in your mind. End this show now. End it. End it. End it.
Yes. Yes. I will definitely end the show. Absolutely. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Goodbye then, listeners. I'll see you again. Next month.
It's quite long.
No. Hey, that's insulting.
Goodbye, 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 goodbye,
goodbye. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.
Okay, bye.
Weird, super weird.
Thank you.
He's not that shy.
123. This program is a proud member of UniVoz. Unified, unique voices. Learn more at UniVozPods.net.
Yes, right. I'm just going to return to the stream, and nobody.
End
nobody
the
in the,
the
chat room, so...
End the show.
Yes.
End the
that's
show.
All.
Exclamation.
It's all in my head.
End the show.
All
end
in my,
show.
My
end
head.
End the show. End the show. Exclamation. End the show. End the show. End the show. End the show. Exclamation.
Well, there you go. As you know, listeners, we always do some extra material for the live episodes, and as mentioned in the live show... Here is DJ Star Sage and myself doing some random questions. So, DJ, I've got some more random questions for you. So, see what you make of these. The first one is, who is your favourite superhero?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm sort of on the fence because I'm not so much into comic books as my husband is, and I guess... You know, technically, a superhero would be somebody that, you know, wore tights or a cape and, and been in an adventure like Superman. Mm. I think I want to bend the rules, sort of, and say that my favorite superhero is actually not a comic book character, but a cartoon character.
Sure.
And my favorite superhero is She-Ra. Uh-huh. It's from an 80s cartoon series, and I think the reason why I like She-Ra so much is because her backstory is that she's a princess, but she's also the twin sibling of another hero, He-Man.
Yes.
And, of course, you know, when I was a little boy, when little boys are supposed to be playing with trucks and getting dirty, I was watching the cartoons, and I actually kind of like She-Ra a little bit more because, well, her sword had a jewel in the middle of it, so it was like having a big diamond ring. And, you know, whereas when He-Man raised his sword and he said that he had the power and lightning struck down and he saw his muscles, when She-Ra transformed, she held up her sword, and it was like a light show. The fireworks went off, she twirled around, and her golden locks flew down like she just won the Miss America pageant.
That's good.
Then Horace turned into a unicorn that could fly.
This is all based on a true story, by the way, listeners. my next random question generator question, I don't even know what one of these things is, so your answer may just be no, unless I'm misjudging you here. But my question, the question is, have you ever been cow tipping or snipe hunting? Now, I don't even know what snipe hunting is.
Oh, well, those are perfect questions for somebody who grew up in a rural background such as myself. Now, a lot of listeners will hear that I'm from the state of New York, but they'll think the Big Apple, and that's just a corner of our state. I'm actually at least a six-hour drive from there, and I'll tell people that I'm from the other part, the part with cows. Well, honestly, I have not been cow tipping, but I wouldn't put it past some of my brother's Jughead's children, because, well, there are different sort of people. And snipe hunting, that's another interesting question, because I think that was something that got started on television. I can't be completely certain, but I think that idea might go back to the 80s sitcom Cheers. And I seem to remember the cast sitting around the bar, and somebody came back from a weekend away, and they are asked how their hunting trip was. And I think that the idea of snipe hunting came up out from that. Somebody was essentially set out on a wild goose chase, and that snipe aren't really a real animal, yeah. But for those who are not familiar with hunting, you know, it's a way of kind of indoctrinating you, you know. You're supposed to be looking for this mythical creature, and everybody else stands around you laughing because you don't know any better.
That explains it. Okay, I'll ask you a couple more. The next question is, how old were you when you learned how to swim? That's if you do swim.
Well, that depends, because I'm not sure that I'm so skilled at it this day. I was the little chubby kid growing up in school, pictured, if you will. I'm the youngest of four, and by the time I made my way through the ranks, I think Mom and Dad had gotten tired of saying no and stop that, and they just looked the other way when I went to the fridge for another snack. you know, there's little more embarrassing than having to go to the public pool with your mom when you're the last one left at home, because you don't have an older sister or an older brother to, you know, look out for you. So anybody who's going to pick on you has got full access. So I want to say I probably was learning to swim around about 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents had it in their head that they were going to move to a little place in the country that was near a lake, because if they had something fun to do like that, the grandkids would come visit more often. And well, that kind of backfired on them, because while they did find a place by the lake, They also found a place by one of the dirtiest lakes around. But I remember being taken out into the lake, and my older siblings were trying to teach me how to swim. And, you know, probably by the time I was 10, I could do a decent dog paddle. But I think that it probably didn't help matters any that my siblings tried to drag me out. And I'm probably exaggerating this, but it felt like they tried dragging me halfway out to the lake and telling me to you know, learn how to swim.
Yeah. I remember swimming with armbands. Then I also had to, when I was a little bit later, when I was a Cub Scout, we sort of had to do swimming as part of that. And I used to really hate doing the length, the board, sort of wanting, you know, getting out of the pool and then going round and round and round. So I used to turn it into an episode of Doctor Who. We're probably talking about 1984 or something. So I was about 10 or 11. And around that time, there'd been a Doctor Who story with Peter Davison's Doctor, which was set on an underwater sort of base with the monsters, the sea devils. And so I pretended that I was in that episode, but I made my own story. But I was pretending that the underwater lab was flooding, and to get from one bit to another, you had to swim through some of the corridors. And that was how I managed to make an hour and a half of swimming length into something far more interesting. I was very good at turning boring things that were supposed to be boring into something more interesting with my imagination. I was very lucky to have that way of surviving boring things. But my last question from the random question generator is, would you like to be famous?
Oh, well, I mean, aren't I already? The shy life.
Well, I know we're podcasting celebrities, but what about outside of podcasting? You know, like, would you like to be Madonna
like to be famous? Well, you know, if you ask somebody who is already famous if they would want to be famous, given the chance, I think a fair amount of them would say no, because part of that is you have to sacrifice your privacy.
Mm.
You no longer get to enjoy the things that an everyday person does. But, you know, you also have opportunities as a famous person that you wouldn't otherwise. So, you know, let's say that you've gained an interest in a certain cause. You know, maybe you want to raise money for a hospital, but as an everyday private citizen, you wouldn't have that following. You wouldn't be able to add your name to something and say, you know, let's save this place from closing. But as soon as people recognize you and they know your name or they recognize your voice, you have that power that you could do more things. So I would say, I think that I would accept the responsibility of being famous, but, you know, maybe I would try to be more humble about it, because certainly there's a fair share of famous people that spend the majority of their time in the public eye saying, leave me alone, well, or not, me.
Not to go on about how ancient we are, but I think if we became famous now, we kind of passed that age of wanting to go crazy and go on drink benders and that sort of something that you might want to do when you were younger. We'd probably be a bit more sensible about how we enjoyed our fame and what how we could use our fame to, as you say, to for good ends and things. But,
and you know, it brings up an interesting topic too, because in the realm of being famous, you know, there are those who manage to get themselves into trouble.
Mm.
And my husband and I were discussing this just the other day. You know, back in the old days of Hollywood, it used to be that people had to behave a certain way because they had, you know, maybe a manager or somebody that worked for the studio that they worked for that looked out for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, nowadays we probably think that that's very old-fashioned, that you would have somebody who would help you mind your P's and Q's.
Yeah.
But I think that the way that things are these days, where, you know, everything is in the public eye, that we might be seeing ourselves moving back towards something like that, because so many people are getting themselves into trouble and they regret it later. Maybe if, you know, they had somebody who was watching out for them, they'd think twice about saying or doing that.
I remember saying to my friend Harry, because Harry and I grew up together, but we weren't terribly wild. You know, when we did start drinking, we probably hadn't drunk much before we went to university, bearing in mind that, you know, we can drink at 18 in the UK, which I know is different in different states, isn't it, in the US. But, but you know, yeah, we did enjoy ourselves, but we were never that crazy. And then in our 30s, I remember Harry saying to me, oh, we should do so-and-so, or we should be a bit more wild. And I just said to him, oh, there's nothing worse than people over the age of 30 kind of going really, really crazy. If we were going to do that, you need to do it when you're young and stupid. It's not as charming when you're in your 30s or 40s to do the really crazy stuff. It's just embarrassing.
It's kind of like dressing your own age. You know, yeah. Some people have no comprehension that, you know, nobody wants to see that part of your body once you're past a certain age.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, DJ, thank you very much for answering my random questions.
Oh, certainly. It was a pleasure.
Okay, well, that's it for now. I hope you enjoyed our extra material, and you'll join us again on the 17th of December for our next live show. Bye for now.
End the show.